Well, every now and then on Magic, we like to develop something new. And on the website, I've been given my own book club. And I'm very excited about it because I just think Magic audiences and book clubs go hand in hand, like hand in glove. And I'm really quite pleased, proud and happy because the first book that I'm going to be featuring on the book club is by a colleague, really, an ex-work colleague called Scott Solder. Good afternoon, Scott.
Good afternoon, Angie.
And Scott's colleague, Mark Palmer. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Angie.
Right. I'm pretty sure it's a book you would have heard about because it's had a lot of publicising. It's sold out on Amazon. And it is called You Need This Book to Get What You Want. So my first question is going to be to either of you, whoever wants to answer this. I have been the queen of self-help. I've read The Road Less Travelled. I have read Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. I know every book by Ian LeVanzant, from One Day My Soul Just Opened Up to Acts of Faith to Don't Give It Away. I have watched and I have read The Secret. Why do I need this book and not the other books and tools that I have used? Who wants to go first?
Well, can I start with The Secret?
Go for it, Mark.
Most people have heard of The Secret.
Yeah.
And I think our book sort of takes off from The Secret. So where The Secret sort of stops, ours begins, if you like.
Right.
So if you haven't read The Secret, very briefly, The Secret is about wanting things to happen, sort of wishing things to happen, and they kind of happen sort of like cosmic ordering or setting filters and looking for things in your life to happen, and they sort of happen automatically just because you want them to happen. That's the basic premise of The Secret. But what do you do? You need more than just wanting things to happen. You need to have a plan of action once you've decided what it is that you want. And that's really where our book comes in. So it really gives you a robust, pragmatic plan, a way forward to get what you want. So instead of just wishing it to happen, wishing is great, but here's how you actually get it. Here's how you put it into action. It's real life, the strategy, if you like, of getting what you want.
So does The Secret not give you the tools to do that? One of the statements in The Secret is, thoughts become things. Therefore,
yeah,
whatever you concentrate your thoughts on,
yep,
can manifest in the physical.
And it can work. I'm not saying that doesn't work, but really that's just the start of the process. So things can happen. Things happen because you want them to happen. You're looking for them, so you'll begin to find them. But that's fine as a starting process. You really do need a step-by-step guide or book, if you like, to take you to the next level of actually going out and getting it. So I might want a new job, for example.
Right.
And I go, okay, I want that to happen. I'm going to have my eyes and ears open to find a new job. Okay. And I might see a job advertisement in the paper. I go, oh, that's me. That's got my name written all over it. Brilliant. I may have found my ideal job there. But, well, how do I go about it? How do I persuade the boss? How do I make sure that I stand out amongst the competition? And that's really where our book comes in.
Okay. So, Scott, give me your take then on, I see this advert, I'm going for this job. Okay, as Mark's just said, how do I stand out? How do I make the boss remember me? Tell me the tools that I can find in this book to make that happen.
Okay, so the first thing you need to do, which most people overlook, is to get your head in the right place. It's to have the right belief that you really are going to get this job. So you're not going to be doubting yourself or hoping you're going to get it or thinking what's going to happen if I don't. You're thinking to yourself, okay, what am I going to do to maximise the potential that I'm going to get this job? Because there's no reason why I shouldn't get this job over and above anybody else.
Right. Right?
That's the first thing. The second thing is that really there are two things that are going to get in the way of you getting this job. The first one is you. If you're doubting yourself, if you're feeling a bit negative about yourself. And the second one is the person who's interviewing you. If you can overcome both of those, then you're going to get the job, aren't you? So first of all, get your head in the right place. Secondly, start saying the right things to yourself, because it's called your internal dialogue. It's that little thing that you use to talk to yourself. Oh, I'm looking forward to this. Or,
right,
oh, I'm dreading this. Or, oh, God, I've got no chance. We do it all the time. Everybody has an internal dialogue. If it's saying the wrong thing, then you're going to upset yourself, because if it's saying, I don't think you're going to get this, there are going to be a lot of people going for this job. If all that's going on inside your head, you're going to start giving that off in
right,
your body language, in the way you come across, in the way you stand, in the intonation in your voice. That will give away the doubt that's going on in your
mind. You'll come across as desperate, basically.
But
come across as desperate.
Just natural common sense statements that you're giving me.
if common sense is available to you at the time, then that's a fair point. But when you're in a situation that you're emotionally attached to, that really means a lot to you, we all know that common sense can sometimes drop off.
Okay.
And you'll get all caught up and you can't see the wood for the trees and you work yourself up and you look back on it afterwards and you think, what was going on there? What was I doing? And it's because you've become too close to the situation, right? So there are techniques to enable you in this book to just pull away from the situation and look at it objectively. It's easy to say, but you need the techniques to know how to do it when you're in it.
Equally, following on from that, once you've got your head in the right place, once you're in the interview, there are techniques in the book to influence and persuade that person, the person that's going to potentially give you the job. You know when you just click with someone?
Yeah.
Or you know when you just
don't click with someone.
Yeah, you might know that one. We kind of bring that to your conscious awareness more. So it's, how do we actually do that deliberately? Or how do we fall out of rapport deliberately? So if I've got that ability, then I can, you know, I can click with people instantly and we kind of like each other, but we don't know why necessarily. And then we start the interview process. So there's a technique in the book that enables you to identify how to do that. And when to do it, and then what to do next, then start talking. So, you know, most people get confused and they think, well, if I say the right things, I'll get the job. But actually, you know, what we actually say is only 7% of our communication. The way we communicate mostly is actually non-verbally, 55% in fact. So if we can get that bit right, then everything else should flow from that.
Let's play a little bit of devil's advocate then, and let's set some scenarios, okay? Because anybody listening to this might be thinking, yeah, this is right, but... Right. So let's take the job, and let's also look at a personal relationship. So I go for this interview, I get the job, but there are people in my place of work that don't click with me.
Mm-hmm.
How do I go about turning that around? Because I'm talented, I know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, whoever was interviewing me thought, yes, she's the one for the job. But then I walk in Monday morning, all bright and breezy, bushy-tailed, ready to start work, and I feel this aura that people just don't like me. How do I turn it around?
Well, I think that has to assume that that's important to you. You know, the book is about getting what you want. Now, most people would say, getting what you want is about being liked first and foremost, which is true in a lot of cases. But actually, so it can be equally as important to be disliked to a certain extent to get what you want.
So give me some examples.
Well, you know, for example, if I'm the boss and I'm, you know, Mr. Nice Guy, then you might walk all over me. Okay.
Okay.
So you might like me and I might buy you a beer and that'd be great, but you don't finish your report on time and, you know, your job doesn't get done.
Okay.
So I might have to be, you know, play the boss in the traditional sense and be a little bit more firm and stern with you. So that way you might not like me, but at least I'm being consistent. But that's another story.
In the book.
Which is also in the book. So, you know, I think that's an important sort of point to make, that, you know, getting what you want out of life or from people or from yourself isn't necessarily about always being liked as your, you know, as your number one default position.
Is that something, sorry to cross you, is that something that we as human beings, depending on our programming, tend to home in on first? We want to be liked.
Well, yeah, basically. I mean, there are a lot of books that tell you likeability is the most important factor when you want to influence and persuade people. And it is a lot of the time, but it's not always the case. I think that's the important thing to remember.
I think also, just to give you an example here, if, for example, you started this job and there's something going on with someone else who clearly doesn't like you, right? They are going to take the earliest opportunity to try and stitch you up, maybe say something to the boss to devalue you in their eyes, or whatever it is, then you clearly have a situation, right? There's a whole section in this book called rule books.
Okay.
Right, there aren't really that many bad people knocking around. They do exist, but most people have good intentions to some extent, right? When you come up against somebody and you clash with them, it's not necessarily because they're evil or you're evil. You're just clashing because you've got different rule books. You've got different values. And what you think is right and good and proper isn't what they think is right and good and proper. They've come from a different place and you're clashing. So, for example, if you particularly, one of your values is that you know, telling tales is a bit kind of cheap and not very nice, And you meet somebody who thinks it's perfectly acceptable to tell your boss that you were late three times last week, you're going to clash with that person.
Okay.
Because that doesn't suit your values. But they think it's fine. They've been brought up that, okay, it's okay to tell teacher when there's something going on because it's not right.
Right.
When that happens, there's a clash of rule books and you've got two options. You can either fight to the death and make life a bit unpleasant, or you can find a way of overcoming that clash and finding harmony, because you probably will find that this person that doesn't like you for a reason. It probably tells you more about them than it does about you.
Right, can I?
And they're a bit insecure. If you have a technique to spot that, which is in there, and you can then pull out a technique to approach them in a different way, to stop doing the thing that makes them feel insecure, whatever that is. It might even be speaking more loudly than they do, and that takes them back to the day they were at school and made them feel intimidated by the other loud kids. You don't know what that is because you're not in their head. But if you have the right techniques to just ask yourself, is this the right approach to this person, or can I adopt another approach that's going to make my life better and theirs, then maybe you're going
to
take it.
But the first thing you must do in any situation is to figure out what you want in the first place.
Right.
Then you'll know which path to take.
And please hold that thought, because I need to just ask a question. So if I'm reading you both correctly, the issue here isn't necessarily the fact that you've started this job and nobody likes you. It's why you care about the fact that nobody likes you. Am I on the right track?
Well, everyone likes to be liked,
yeah,
in most cases. And if that's important to you and you want that to happen, then that's great, because you know what your goal is. You want to be liked, you want to be popular, and you also want to do a good job, you know, whatever your job is. So that's your starting point. Then you go about, well, how do I get that? Now, there are a million and one ways that you can get that, from humanizing to being more inhuman. So when people are in a corporate context or a business context, they tend to sort of dehumanize things slightly. So they'll reply to you by email, or they'll say, well, the business doesn't warrant a pay rise, Mark, and I'm not going to promote you because we're in recession. So people kind of use the corporate facade as an excuse to behave in a slightly, you know, standoffish way. Now, to combat that, you would humanize. So you would really sort of sell yourself in as, you know, I'm not Mark, you know, head of sales. I'm actually Mark that lives in a house, who has a partner, has a girlfriend, has mouths to feed, has children to take to school. You begin to humanize, so your boss sees you as more of a human being, more of a person than just someone who does a job at work. And in that way, you begin to influence them.
Well, if you've enjoyed listening so far to Scott Solder and Mark Palmer, and if you're gripped, and if you want to hear some more, and especially if you would like to get yourself a copy of the book, which I'll be giving away in a competition a little later in this podcast, then why not click on the next link and listen to the rest of this podcast.